What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, 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 yo. Hey, guys. Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It's the beginning of another week. And every Monday, we do something called Metric Mondays. A little bite-sized piece of information, some data, what it is, and how to improve it in hopes of you improving your practice and your life. And today is an awesome one. This is actually a really important metric that we use in our coaching program. It's called periodiagnostic percentage and perioacceptance percentage. And I have my co-host on, Miranda Beeson, to talk about what it measures, how it impacts the practice, and how to improve it. I promise you, if you and your team get aligned around this and improve this metric in your practice, your patients will get healthier, and so will the practice. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing episode of the Best Practices Show podcast. You know what today is? Today is Monday. And like every Monday, if you've been paying attention and been showing up, we do something called Metric Mondays. And I've got my amazing co-host. Her name is Miranda Beeson. Not only is she an amazing coach, but she's also the director of education and on our leadership team. And she's the brilliant one. I just have to ask the questions. So Miranda, thanks for being back. I always appreciate you.
Hi, Kirk. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Now, if you guys have been following along, our goal with these podcasts on Monday is to give you a little bite-sized piece of information while you're driving to work or wherever you're listening to these podcasts. And I mentioned to Miranda, before we hit the go button on the metric we're going to be talking about today and next week, these are among the most complex for me to understand. I think I finally have my brain around them, but you're going to see Miranda's the expert. So Miranda, where are we going today?
Well, we're going back to my roots today, which is hygiene metrics. So we're looking at periodontal diagnostic percentage and the periodontal acceptance percentage. So we're going to be talking about a couple of metrics this week and one next week that our hygiene department can track to help us understand how well we're serving the periodontal need of our patients in the practice. So you want me to just jump in?
Yeah, but before you do, let's go here because we're going to talk about periodiagnostic percentage and perioacceptance percentage, but maybe we should just spend 1 minute on the why. Like we know as coaches, and if you don't know what we do, we're a practice coaches, and we know these are huge leverage points for the practice.
Yeah, so with these particular metrics, the most important thing to remember is that we're trying to make sure that we're serving our patients well. And ultimately, the revenue, the productivity, the profitability will come when we're taking really good care of people. And so this is a really important thing to remember when we talk about these numbers because it can get really personal for hygienists. And so when we think about these particular metrics, we're realizing and recognizing that we're serving our patient population, and we have to look at what does the general population look like when it comes to periodontal disease or people having active infection. And what we know is that in the general population, patients that are people that are 30 and over, adults, have somewhere between 40 and 50% of the population have some form of periodontal gingivitis or periodontitis active disease. And also when we're looking at patients over 65, that goes up even higher, sometimes into the 60s. So if in our practice, we're primarily doing preventative care, we likely are missing the mark on helping some of our patients who may have some early signs of disease that we need to help manage. And in turn, when we're doing that and we see these numbers improve, our revenue is going to improve, our profitability is going to improve, our schedule maintenance improves. And so everything gets better when we're taking better care of people. And so that's where this really stems from, is making sure that you understand as the doctor or the practice owner how hygiene can contribute to the profitability of the practice in a positive way. It's important for hygienists to understand how hygiene and our perio protocols can contribute to the revenue of the practice, because you're also looking to add that value and be compensated in return. And then also it's really important because we always want to make sure that we're giving that optimal standard of care to the patients that choose to come and see us every day.
Yeah. So, okay, let's go right there. Perio diagnostic percentage. Let's define it. So,
yeah. So perio diagnostic percentage, or sometimes it's listed, like if you have dental intel, it might say perio presented percentage, same difference. It's measuring how many of our adult patients, so in dental intelligence, who we primarily use, it's going to be people over 30. If you're tracking this in your practice management software, you may not have that age parameter, but it's measuring how many adult hygiene patients that you've seen were diagnosed with periodontal disease relative to the number of patients seen. So for example, if you saw 10 patients as a hygienist today, I saw 10 hygiene patients and three were presented with 4,000 codes, such as 4355 full mouth debridement or 4346 gingivitis therapy, or perhaps our scaling of root planing codes, the 4341, 4342. You can even actually include 6081 for implantitis. So how many of those were presented with new treatment around those 4,000 or perio codes? So say three were out of the 10. Then for that day, my diagnostic, perio diagnostic percentage would be 30%.
Yeah.
So we're usually looking at a week or a month's time, and we're saying out of the number of hygiene visits performed, what percentage did we identify, diagnose, and treatment plan some form of periodontal help or therapy for our patients?
Okay. And then perio acceptance percentage is what?
Yep. So perio acceptance percentage takes it to the next level and lets us know, like, it's great if we diagnose it, but how do we know if we're building value? Are people moving forward? And so that's going to help us measure the percentage of patients that were diagnosed or presented with that treatment who actually accepted the treatment. So in that same example, if we had seen the 10 patients, three were presented with treatment, we were at 30% diagnostic percentage. If all three say yes and schedule even just their first quadrant of therapy before they leave the practice, then we're at 100% acceptance. So we're looking at number one, how much are we diagnosing? And then from that, how much value are we building? And people are saying yes and moving forward with that treatment.
Yeah. And then when you start to track this, let's talk about how does it impact the practice?
So when you have high diagnostic rates, it's showing that you're identifying and documenting disease rather than defaulting to the routine prophy concept. A lot of times it just comes down to time. I know you say all the time, a lot of, you know, we're serving champagne, but charging for water in most cases. We're busy, we're on the hamster wheel, we're going through the motions, we don't have time to go through all of this. And so we just like, I'm going to clean you up, work harder next time, floss a little better, maybe we'll see you in 3 months. But instead, if we stop and if we have these high rates, we know we're looking and aligning around what is healthy in our practice. If it's not healthy, what is it? What are we doing about it? If our acceptance rates are high, then we know that we're building trust with our patients. We're doing a really good job of creating value, probably a little bit of co-discovery, helping them to own a bit of that disease for themselves versus us wanting it more than they do, helping them to understand the importance of this therapy. And so strong performance here is going to, just like we talked about at the top, it's going to lead to healthier patients. It's going to lead to improved long-term retention, increased hygiene revenue, and then also ultimately practice revenue. Because what we know is that when patients take care of their periodontal health and they're really invested in the outcomes around their periodontal health, they start to think and explore restorative health as well. And so over time, that revenue continues to build. Low numbers, however, might point to underdiagnosis or incomplete exams or gaps between the education and patient communication. And the biggest factor around that tends to stem from even just how are we setting ourselves up for success when we're doing the evaluation. If we are leaning our patient back, we're probing, we're recording, and we're kind of muttering to ourselves and typing things in the computer, but we're not really having a full conversation to bring our patient in as an active participant in that exam. And then afterwards, we're just telling them our findings and what we think they should do. There's going to be a whole lot different level of patient acceptance than if we are explaining to the patient, here's what's about to happen. Here's what I'd love for you to do while I'm completing this exam. Listen for these things, feel for these things, and then giving them the opportunity when that exam is over to just share what they heard and share what they felt and be an active participant in the conversation around identifying and diagnosing the disease. You're going to have more people say yes. And then we're going to have these acceptance rates and diagnostic rates going up over time.
Yeah. And if you're listening to the podcast and you don't know what we do, we are practice coaches. So we coach hundreds of practices that aren't necessarily broken across the United States. And so with these Metric Monday podcasts, we want to educate you about the metric, then give you like a target. And then if you're not hitting the target, which happens a lot for even some of the best practices, some countermeasures. So Miranda, if I'm a dentist listening, what should these numbers be? Like, what's a healthy range for them? And then help me if they're not in that range.
So a healthy range, well, when we get to perio visit percentage, which we're going to talk about next Monday, it kind of ties everything together. It's a little tricky around diagnostic because to some degree, it depends on where you're starting by way of what your overall perio visit percentage is. If you have a really low periodontal visit percentage overall, so if you don't know what that is, tune in next week, you're starting from scratch. You're probably going to have a higher periodiagnostic rate once you align around diagnosing perio more consistently than a practice that already has 40% of their patients in a perio pool. If you're at 1%, 2%, 3%, or 10% in terms of how many of your patients fall into perio, you're going to have a higher diagnostic percentage. The acceptance percentage, on the other hand, I mean, my goal is for my clients is always 85% or greater. I think if you're doing a really good job building value, majority of your patients should be able to say yes. And if they're stuck, then we also have financing options or ways for them to manage the investment. You're going to get more and more case acceptance. But that case acceptance starts chair side in the back. So as a team, there's some things you can do to make sure that that's more likely to occur. Number one is just defining your optimal standards of care. Like you have to align as a team. Doctors and hygienists have to align around what do we consider to be the optimal standard of care of how often we're recording their periodontal health and evaluating it, and what are we recording and evaluating? Cannot tell you the number of times I look at perio charts and it's pocket depths, bleeding points, and that's it. And so we need to be looking at the whole picture, pocket depths, recession, furcation, mobility, bleeding points, recorded at least annually in the practice. And then honestly, spot checking visit by visit, just to make sure that there are no changes. So first and foremost, we all have to, you know, go to the same continuing education. We have tons of stuff in our best practices association with Katrina Sanders. She does a great job of helping people to fully understand this whole systemic component that's associated with periodontal disease and get really clear with the team and aligned around what that looks like. And then you have to make sure everyone's aligned on how do we present this information, right? How do we use patient-friendly language, visuals? How are we building value throughout that conversation so that we're actively participating in a conversation with them and just not talking at our patients? A real simple go-to question is just what's your understanding of periodontal disease? And giving the patient the ability to share with you what they know or don't know versus you making any assumptions about where you need to start this like education process with your patient.
Yeah. And we find a lot of dentists, and would you agree with this, Miranda? Like, this is so important. And Miranda, you outlined a great plan. Most hygienists, they know what it is. They believe in it. They want to help their patients, and they just need the support of the doctor and the time as a team to calibrate around this. And you might be a dentist thinking, I don't have time for this. Will you? That's the biggest lie ever. Once you take the time to get everybody on the same page, they develop their verbal skills around. They develop the confidence. You're going to see your patients get healthier. Restorative work grows. People get better results. It's just this compounding effect, don't you think?
I do. And I would say that the biggest challenge that practices have, it's not new patients are easy. Like anytime we're working with a client who's starting to build a periodontal protocol, or maybe they run these periodontal metrics and realize we're not exactly where we think we should be based on the population. The easiest thing to do is start doing it with new patients because we have no history with them. The hardest thing to do is bringing this protocol to existing patients. And so the first thing that we do when we align with teams to help that is let's get really standard on one simple thing. Let's all calibrate and align and standardize on one super, super simple thing, which is what does healthy look like? And if we can all agree that somebody with a healthy periodontium looks like this, you know, it's usually pink tight tissue, less than 10 bleeding points, minimal attachment loss, if any. Like every practice has just some slight variable, but it's very common that it ends up, because I mean, there's AAP classifications for what healthy is. So we need to reference the evidence and then align as a team on when we see a patient in our chair that looks like this, it means they're healthy. Because the next step is, if that's not what it is, it's something else. And what do we do about it? And so we'll talk a little bit more next week around that piece of it. But that's like a number one, the easiest thing to do is just standardize as a team, sit down at a team meeting and say, what does healthy periodontium look like? So that we can have it right there in front of us. Anyone that walks the door, sits in any hygienist or doctor's chair, we know that we all agree that like this is healthy.
Yeah, love it. Great, great job, Miranda. And if you guys are listening, you already know, we delivered on that. She's the brilliant one. She knows how this all works. And so there you have it. Perio diagnostic percentage and perio acceptance percentage. I know this isn't the easiest thing in the world to get everybody, you know, aligned on, but we have amazing resources. I'm going to start with this. Share this podcast with your hygiene team or your entire team and just say, let's have a conversation. If you still have challenges, you can go back in the Best Practices Association. Like Miranda said, we have a ton of resources back there. To help you improve your practice in your life. And if you're like, I don't even know where to start, raise your hand. We can help you. That's what we do. We're coaches. So hope you guys enjoyed that. So Miranda, stick around when we say goodbye to everybody else. It's Monday. We did that in 15 minutes. That's crazy. How cool is that? So there you have it. Another Metric Monday. Hope you guys enjoyed that. We're going to keep bringing it. And so until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. Hope you guys enjoy your Monday. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.